Fairchild, written by Jay Mafixon and read by Lucy Patterson.
Chapter 1. Fatherless. The day Sophie let Mrs. Upton's pig into the laundry, her mother died. Snuffling contentedly, the pig took to rooting through the snowy linens just like a happy baby, which was fitting since Mrs. Upton cherished her spotted prize winner like it was her only child. Satisfied with her revenge, Sophie vaulted over the fence and pelted down the lane to safety. Though small, she was spry and fast. Serve the old cow right. Oof! She grunted, stumbling headfirst into the dusty road. Watch yourself! Snapped Mr. Lincham, the minister, righting himself just in time. His books were not so fortunate. They tumbled to the ground. Slow down, and look where you're going!
Beg pardon, sir!
On her feet again, Sophie ignored the dust on her pinafore, her stinging palms and her bashed knee, diving to retrieve Mr. Lincham's books. She swiftly brushed the covers with the clean edge of her pinafore before thrusting each volume into his hands. He was piecing together his torn dignity, his enormous chest swelling with outrage under his black coat. She could not linger, for any moment Mrs. Upton would...
I...
Too late. What have you done? Mr. Lincham's caterpillar eyebrows inched closer. He glared at Sophie for a mere second before deciding she was guilty. Ignoring her protests, he tucked his books under one arm and seized her ear with the other. She swallowed a yelp of pain and lifted onto her toes, struggling to match his long strides as he marched her back to Mrs. Upton's. She was waiting in the garden between the cabbages, her insulted linen strewn about her. Her eyes were as round as marbles, her flabby cheeks quivering with outrage. She lit into Sophie, her voice rising and falling at least two octaves, carrying through the entire village.
No good rascal! Soiling all my linen! Not to be born!
At length, she spluttered to a halt, breathless, having used nearly every word in her vocabulary.
She will launder everything again, Mr. Lincham pronounced, immediately.
With identical dagger glares, the two of them herded Sophie to the washtub and set her to work, hauling and heating water. Sophie spent what remained of the afternoon hunched over the tub in a cloud of steam and indignation, growing sweaty and sore. When the sheets and Mrs. Upton's gigantic undergarments were at last hanging on the line, she ached like she'd been through the ringer too.
Finished, are you? Mrs. Upton sniffed. Get along, then.
Curtsying stiffly, Sophie turned and stalked through the gate, muttering under her breath. Next time, she wouldn't get caught. If Mrs. Upton dared to say things again about her mother.
You're not a bastard, she told herself.
Her voice was sure, but inside she was unconvinced. Mother had moved to the village of Bottom End, already widowed, before Sophie was born. She called herself Mrs. Prescott. Until recently, Sophie hadn't questioned this story, accepting that she and her mother were like those stalwarts of so many stories, people without any relatives at all. Now, at 10 years, Sophie was a realist. Fairies didn't exist, and neither did the shaggy beast she imagined lurking in the cellar. She had become conscious of the villagers' speculating looks, but hadn't understood them until yesterday, when she overheard Mrs. Upton saying with her usual complacence,
"I don't know if there ever really was a husband, for I cannot convince Mrs. Prescott to tell me anything about him. She just smiles, smiles. Don't I, who have mourned my dear Francis for 22 years, know just what a true widow must feel? That girl of hers could very well be..."
Here, Mrs. Upton's voice dropped to a whisper. The tea-circle ladies were listening so intently their cups didn't even clink.